Bruce Grenville is a senior curator at the Vancouver Art Gallery. Prior to that, he's practiced his work at the Mendel Art Gallery and the Edmonton Art Gallery. He is a writer. He's somebody who is constantly rethinking his practice as a curator. I think of him as one of Canada's great treasures, Bruce Grenville.
Thank you, Matthew. Well, thank Matthew for that. But I want to thank the organizers of the conference as well. It's a harrowing task to pull this together, but at the same time, a celebratory task, I think, to do, especially in memory of Judith. So thank you for my opportunity to participate in this. In my response to these proceedings, I want to focus on a question that has arisen to varying degrees and intensities throughout the proceedings. It is the question of the responsibility of museums for the representations that they produce. It is a question of responsibility not only to the artist and their work, but also to the audience who engages with that work. But before I begin, I want to add another anecdote about Judith, not only as a testament to her place in these proceedings, but also as an acknowledgement of her influence on my response to the events of the last few days. First time I met Judith, I was working at the Mendel Art Gallery in Saskatoon, and she contacted me to see if I would be interested in receiving the donation of some works by Terry Atkinson, specifically a 1987 painting entitled Emma Greaser, and some related works on paper. Terry had produced the painting at the Emma Lake Artists Workshop in 1987, and Judith had stored it in her studio. I traveled to Vancouver to see the work and to meet Judith for the first time, and she patiently explained the history of the work and its place in Terry's practice. Through these conversations, I came to see what Judith had known. This work was not only a significant painting by an important international artist, but also that its acquisition by the gallery was an important part of the chain of events that preceded and followed its production. Its acquisition and exhibition could be linked back to the 1987 Artists' Workshop and the continuing evolution and history of that project. But it also spoke to John O'Brien's and Matthew Teitelbaum's 1989 exhibition, The Flat Side of the Landscape, an exhibition that addressed the complex history of Emma Lake and its relevance to the development of abstract painting in Canada. The acquisition and exhibition of Emma Greaser in 1992 not only provided us with an opportunity to resituate and reassess those events, but also provided an opportunity to affirm the complexity of that representation. By its very presence in the collection, the work called into question the histories of Western Canadian abstraction, the influence of American and British abstraction, divergent notions of modernism, and the necessary slippage between abstraction and figurative painting. I could go on, but the point is this: Judith's insistence on the significance of this work to a history of production and exhibition opened my eyes to the responsibility of the museum to affirm the complexity of its representations. We produced a small publication for that exhibition, and I asked Judith to write the essay. I think it might have been the first catalog essay that she wrote. And in it, she posed two questions that form the basis of a critical assessment of this work and could be adapted to almost any exhibition. She asked, and I quote, "What does Atkinson think he is doing by making these works?" Now, I'm not sure which inflection that Judith would give to that, but I might go something like that. It might have been sort of, "What does he think he's doing?" And what might they hold for a contemporary viewer who engages with them? What does the artist think they are doing, and what does the work hold for the viewer? These are questions we must ask in building a representation for which we are responsible. And these are the same questions that caught my ear during these sessions. "What is the language of representation?" asked Terry Atkinson. Gerald McMaster and Robert Houle asked us to consider, what is the role of First Nations artists in reconfiguring the museum? "Does an artist's critical intervention shift the representation?" asked others. "How do we keep the archive, the art, those objects, from becoming a mortuary? How do you present the work without undermining its meanings?" I'm sure you can think of many others like this, It seems to me that these questions are gathered around the question of what does the artist think that they are doing by making these works. In some ways, it seems to me that we have come to ask these questions by rote, asking and answering them with a confirmed set of responses. And so we might want to go back to Judas' inflection and ask, what are they doing in making these works? For me, the most engaging questions were gathered around the question, what might these works hold for a contemporary viewer? Irit Rogoff asked, what levels of participation are open to us? And even asked us to consider the audience as a subject. Jim Drobnik and Jennifer Fisher asked, how can we open up our representation to acknowledge the role of affect and the non-visual? Peter White asked, how can we acknowledge and represent the complexity of a subject like the North? But perhaps the most challenging questions came with the final panel, who asked, how do we represent the unrepresentable? And the equally challenging question, how do we present the unwanted representation? This is a question that not only addresses the construction of the temporary exhibition, but also that of the collection. And certainly the collection was an area that had not been really addressed here at the conference, but I think one that's absolutely central to the development of the museum. But finally, the most compelling question, for me at least, is the one that is also the most difficult for me to ask. For it is one that seems to run counter to those questions that have been asked earlier, and yet it isn't. The question is whether or not to accept Irit Rogoff's invitation to look away. A looking away, she says, that breaks the singularity of the object, that shifts our attention, that releases us from the mythologies of artistic production and reception, and opens the way to new models of coming together. Thank you.
Thank you, Bruce.